Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a jam-packed show full of just guests that we've talked to. They're going to just stop in and talk to us, talk to us a little bit about their Christmas traditions, obviously. Obviously, we're going to talk some sports here on the Balance Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio, streaming across the nation on Christmas Eve. So glad that you, our listeners, can join us today on Christmas Eve. Although some of you are actually joining us on Christmas Day evening, and so glad that you can do that, especially our friends over at WROM up in Detroit. You guys are joining us on Christmas evening, so hopefully you guys got everything that you wanted for Christmas, and it's been a great day, and you can top your day off here on WROM in Detroit with The Balance and Balance Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. With me today is, as always, my co-host and Super Colts fan, Mr. Brian Jensen. Brian, Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, too, and everyone out there.
You sound like such a Grinch today. And also joining me is Axel, a.k.a. Chad. Merry Christmas to you, Chad.
Merry Christmas, indeed. And Merry Christmas to the Orlovskis, who are having triplets and having given us twin wins.
You practiced that all week long, didn't you, Chad?
No.
No. It's kind of off-the-cuff thing. Well, guys, what I thought I'd do today here, because it is Christmas Eve, and I want to make this show really laxed and laid back. We've got some people just kind of calling in, so as they call in, we'll get them on. And I'd like to have you guys stay on as long as you possibly can. But we've got some people popping in, some people from the Associated Press, the Philadelphia Inquirer. We've got Jimmy the intern calling in at the top of the hour, along with Evan Williams, going to be talking about some college recruits. We've got some other IU basketball fans that are going to be calling in. Obviously, we're going to be talking about some NFL and how the playoff picture is starting to come together, and that ultimate picture of the draft and the suck-for-luck sweepstakes. Is the Colts in it? Should the Colts be in it? And so forth. So we're going to get to all of that. But one thing that I wanted to do, we'll start with you guys, and as we get our guests on today, we'll play the same game with them. I want to play a quick 30-second truth or dare, and what I'm going to do is I want you guys just to tell us your name, where you're from, if you're married, what your wife's names are, your kids, how old they are. You don't have to give last names or anything. And something that we might say is either a truth about you or a lie about you. So, Brian, go right ahead.
Brian Jensen, Dixon, Illinois. No kids, fiance. I am a Bears. I'm actually a in the closet Bears fan.
I'm going to say, and I'm going to let Chad answer this one because I know the answer to that
you
one.
Know
that
the
one
answer
was
to that
kind
one.
Of a, that was kind of an unfair advantage. So, Chad, you think that he's actually a Bears closet Bears fan? Is that a truth or a lie?
I think that's the truth because
passion
for the Colts doesn't come out as much as I want it to be.
Since I know the answer to this question, I'm gonna bring Brian out of the closet. He is not a closet Bears fan. He hates the Bears. So there you go. All right. Chad, you're up, and you can say your last name if you. You can say your last name if you want.
And I came to this country about 15 years ago from India, and I have a green card, a wife, her name is Julie, she's from this country, and we have one child, a lovely girl named Shanti, she just turned 4 years old, and something that people don't know about me, I do suffer from bouts of road rage every once in a while.
Now, see, I do not know the answer to that, but I'm going to say, if you're from India, how in the world could you suffer from road rage? So I'm going to say it's a lie. Brian?
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I say it's a lie.
Or have you been in the United States long enough, you've become acclimated to our customs?
Well, I never drove in India. That's the key. I never drove in India. I was always a passenger.
Oh, okay.
So I got my license here, and I started driving here.
So you do, is that the truth, or is that a lie?
That's the truth.
That's the truth. He suffers from road rage. Well, if we hear a thing about an Indian guy swearing in Hindu on 465, we know who it was. That's right. All right, now let me ask you this real quick before we move on to me. Now, you're a two language home, which is I think is a fascinating thing. Do you speak both languages to your daughter?
Sometimes I'm just getting her ramped up, but primarily I wanted her to get her grasp of English battered down first. It's kind of a use it or lose it thing. Unless both the parents are from the same language, it is kind of hard to use it all the time. So instead of confusing the child, let her get a grasp of one language first, and then once she can understand what another language means, then you can start throwing in a few words here and there and ramping her up so that the grandparents are happy.
There you go. Always got to make the grandparents happy. Well, my name's Tom Marquis. I'm from Indianapolis. Well, I'm from Evansville, Indiana, but I live in Indianapolis, Indiana now with my wife. I have a son. He's 23 years old in the Marines out of 29 Palms, California right now. And my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter live in North Carolina. They will be home for Christmas, and they're going to be making a round of several different states. Unfortunately, they're not going to make it out to California, but they're going to make it to Indiana and then out to Texas over the next few days. So I wear a few hats, actually, during the day. I have a real job during the week, and, of course, in the afternoons, those of you that listen to the Balance Radio Network know that myself and Gary Snyder Show do the Balance/Gary Snyder Show every day, Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 right here on the Balance Radio Network. And then on Saturday, I do this. I have a degree from IU with a major in finance and a minor in marketing and communications, and I was in the Army for 11 years as part of the U.S. Armed Forces Radio Network. Been in radio my whole life and love radio, love what we do here. I did everything from overnight jazz DJ, if you will. Back in the day, they called it DJ all night. Don't raise your tone of voice. 101.7. And you're listening to All Nights on 101.7. I've got a lot of friends in the radio industry all over the United States. Send a shout out to every one of those guys, and I've just got a lot of good friends that are on my Facebook and people that I've known from the years that are all over in various different radio capacities across the United States. So the truth or lie part of me, let me think here. I have a tendency to fall asleep during golf. True or false?
You want to answer that?
I got no clue, but I'm just going to say, well, you got to let somebody chase you with a golf club and see if you wake up. But I'd say true.
I'd say true.
It is true. I love golf. I love to play golf, but occasionally I will find a nice shady tree and disappear for about 45 minutes, and I take a nap. I think a nap on a golf course is very, very peaceful. So I have to admit that that's one of my secret indulgence. So there you go. Now we're all getting to know each other very well. Well, one thing that we do want to do, we want to get to know these coaches a little bit better, and obviously we're seeing a different team than what we saw. So let's just jump right into it, guys. They're on what's called a win streak. Two wins. Let's just talk about Jacksonville. I mean, do you think the Colts should give everything that they have? We'll start with you, Chad, and go down there to Jacksonville. What are the keys to the game with Jacksonville? And do you think the Colts need to try to win, or do you think let's just go ahead and continue to suck for luck, and then we'll go to you, Brian. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, they should always try to win, but then it could be part of a master plan. Give Dan Orlovsky time with his triplets and put Painter back in and make sure that we get the loss. So, and the NFL might change its policy of adding the number one pick based on the worst record, but that's a big if. But talking seriously, yes, they're going to go for a win. And one thing, I mean, this defense has shown up really well the last two games, and I'm almost beginning to think, it's like, why did Larry Coyer not cut down on the cushions that the cornerbacks are giving? Why did he not mix up man coverage and zone coverage like Mike Murphy is doing? And why did they insist on Curtis Painter being that awesome quarterback that he is for longer than what he should have been? I mean, the change should have been made as early as the bye week. I mean, or if Orlovsky had started from the beginning, and if the management and the coaches would have swallowed their pride and see Painter had the arm but didn't have the accuracy and the pocket presence to deal with pressure, then we may have had 6 to 7 wins, and we wouldn't even be talking about Andrew Luck. So this team, I never thought was that bad to go 0-30 in the first place, to be honest with you. But they did, and it was a combination of bad quarterback play, turning it over, and then bad defensive play as well. So maybe it was all for the good that we had to find it out the hard way about Curtis Painter. And if we do go with 3 quarterbacks, and I would hope that the Colts seriously consider Dan Orlovsky or Painter next year. So,
all right, Brian, what are your thoughts?
Jacksonville, I mean, they have one of the worst offense in the NFL going up against, you know, our team and one of the, you know, worst defenses in the NFL. But I mean, you look at that and You would think, you know, coming off of our two win streak that, you know, we'd have a decent, you know, chance in this, but they do have a really good defense, and going for a suck for luck thing. I mean, I think we're going to lay down. I mean, I think, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, it's not gonna be, well, let's just take a kneel down every down, you know, type of a thing. But I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what goes through our coach's mind in something like this, because when you gotta, you know, you're thinking, okay, we win this game, we're gonna be down to, you know, probably the third pick. Now we're gonna have to trade up to go get Luck or whatever we want to do. But if we want to get Luck, we gotta lose this game. So how can I make this? You know, how can we make this look like we're trying to win but screw it up at the same time, you know, type of a game. And yeah, I hope Jack, I mean, I really think that, you know, Jacksonville's gonna win this. I don't think we're gonna do anything, you know, because I really think that they want that number one pick there in Indy.
Yeah, if Orlovsky goes against the Jaguars, I mean, definitely. I mean, their Jaguars secondary is like given tons and tons of yardage. The important thing to know is Pierre Garçon is 75 yards short of his first 1,000-yard career. And Reggie Wayne is 113 yards to continue his 1,000-yard season path that he's had the last few years. And so basically, I think they're going to go full throttle. And I think Peyton is going to come back healthy, and with the number three pick, they'll either go with the cornerback, Maurice Claiborne of LSU, or wide receiver out of Oklahoma State, Justin Blackmon, to add some speed to the secondary out of the wide receiver corp. So that's,
you know,
my prediction.
We can't score too many points, though, because their offense is horrible. So, I mean, I think, you know, we try and score 14 points, they're going to have a hard time getting to 10. You know,
right.
their offense just completely sucks.
Yeah, but we,
right.
we will win, I feel.
Right. And here's the thing, guys. Let the host interject, all right? No, I'm just kidding. Now, here's the thing. Here's where I'm at. I am totally on Chad's side. I think that we need to not really worry about a quarterback. It's okay if we get one, and I think that if we get that number one pick, obviously we've got to go with Luck. And obviously there's a lot of other great quarterbacks out there. And we've talked about this a couple times on the Gary Snyder Show this week on 1400 WBAT up in Marion. What we've talked about and what Gary thinks is, he's totally on the other end of the spectrum. Hey, Colts, lay down, throw in Painter. Hell, I'll come in and play quarterback for you. Just lose the next game so that we can make sure that we get Andrew Luck. That's all that matters. Well, I don't subscribe to that theory. You guys got to look at Drew Brees. You got to look at Tom Brady. You got to look at Aaron Rodgers. And I think all of us would agree that those are three of the best quarterbacks out there right now that's playing. And probably one of those three will get the MVP. None of those three players were first-round draft picks. In fact, Tom Brady was a
Rodgers was.
Rodgers
was,
he didn't play the first year. Okay. But didn't come in and play the first year, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And he didn't necessarily come in to be the successor to Brett Favre. We thought that might happen, but we did not know. Now, whoever comes in, and what we're saying here is, bring in Andrew Luck. He's a successor to Peyton Manning. We don't want anybody else to have him. The last thing we want to do is see another Peyton Manning on the Rams, which may or may not happen. But what we've got to do is we've got to get our team together, and we've got to get a lot more than just the quarterback. And I know that we need one, and I know that we need to look at his successors. But we can draft deeper into the draft and still find the Peyton Manning's heir to the throne. We can still find that special flair with a quarterback that we've been looking for. And so I think that we need to not be so worried about whether or not we get Andrew Luck. That should not be our top priority, even though it should be a priority. And certainly if we get into that situation to where we are going to draft a quarterback and we get the number one pick, absolutely go with Andrew Luck. Let's try to get Peyton Manning healthy, and let's have the best of both worlds. I'm totally all for that. But what I don't like is to hear fans using Gary, because he's been so vocal about it, but there are many others out there that are just like him that think, oh, all that matters is Andrew Luck. Well, that is not all that matters at all. Guys, final thoughts. We've got to take a break. So any final thoughts on the Jacksonville Colts game or the Texans and the Colts this past week?
Yeah, I think we will go for the win. And like you said, Tom, I totally agree. Second-round prospects like Ryan Tannehill of Texas A&M or Nick Foles of Arizona, they are developmental prospects, but a lot of upside. They can be had at the with the second-round pick, even if you pick number three in the second round, and those can be developed over a couple of years, and they'll be ready if Peyton comes back healthy. So I totally agree that we just need to let the chips fall where they may.
All right, well, we're going to see where the chips fall. We'll be right back. More of the Ballads Christmas Special on Christmas Eve right here on the Ballads Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio across the United States. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to the Ballads, guys. It's Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2011. Hope you guys are having a great Christmas, if you're already listening to us on Christmas. If not, we hope that you will have a great Christmas. So see, it works both ways here on the Ballads. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, your host and moderator for the next 90 minutes or so, and we're going to talk. We're just kind of laid back today. We've got some people just kind of calling in, and really not on any really certain time schedule, and we're not really have any slated hardcore schedule segment. So we're just going to kind of bleed into what the conversation may hold. I'm not sure how long Chad can hang along around with us, but Chad, you're more than welcome to hang out as long as you want. And I know that coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll probably have Ed Kratz call in. He's from down in Philadelphia. He's going to talk to Philadelphia Eagles with us, just basic stuff. So let me ask you guys, any Christmas traditions that you may have? I know, Brian, you guys make Christmas cookies. So tell us about any Christmas traditions that you may have there. Tell us that story about your Christmas cookies there, Brian.
It's just something I started back with my mom. I mean, she always made these what's called date cookies, and I mean, I had them pretty much every year since, you know, I was little. And my mom, I guess, just recently got lazy in the last 5 years and didn't want to make them, so she gave the recipe to my fiance, and we've been making them now for the last 3 years. And I only get them once a year, and usually when I get them, you know, make about 36 to 40 of them, and they're gone within 3 days, and I usually eat about 95% of them.
Now, what is in them that makes it so good? Is it like, I don't know, molasses, raisins? What's the secret ingredient?
It's actually the date filling. I can't remember if it's like a... I don't know. I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's date something. Then that's in the middle of it. Then the dough is just, you know, a lot of oatmeal, flour, a whole bunch of other little stuff, you know. I can't even think of it. See, we don't make it that often, so I can't even think of what's in it. But I remember it's oatmeal. And it's mainly oatmeal and the date flavoring in the middle.
A date flavor? Oh, the date. Okay.
Yeah, date filling. Yeah.
What are you doing? Stamping? Date stamping? All right. I'm with you now. A date is in the fruit. All right. All right.
Right.
Chad, any Christmas traditions that you and your family share?
Not much. I mean, I just make sure I help my wife because we host Christmas almost every year, and my wife's always stressed out during preparation time, and I am on my best alert to do whatever it takes to keep the wife happy.
Hey, now there's a man that knows what it's like to be married. And Brian, I know you live with your fiance, but it all changes when you get married. And
that's what I hear.
But you know, I understand. You know, we don't host Christmas, so we usually go out of town, and we're actually going to be headed down to Evansville right after this show. We got about a 3.5-hour drive, going to check in a hotel, spend some time with family over the weekend. But on Thanksgiving, we do host every other year, so I know what it's like, that last-minute madness is everything, and then it never fails. At the end of the day, something always happens. You know, a few years ago, this wasn't Thanksgiving; it was on Easter. We had all my family over for Easter, and we go to church on Easter, and we go to church more than just Easter, but we're going to church on Easter, and I work in the sound and tech team at the church, so I had to be there early. As you can imagine, Easter is a very busy day for every church, so I had to be there early, about 7:15 or so in the morning. So I told my wife, just go ahead and put the ham in the oven, because I'm the cook in the house. I like to cook, and so it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. But so just put the ham in the oven, and just come on to church, and then we'll finish up lunch when I get home. And get home, realize that Mrs. Marquis did not put the ham in the oven. So I was scrambling around, and I had to end up going to Cracker Barrel and buying ham for the family for Easter. And then we ended up having to cook that ham because, obviously, you know, the ham needs to be cooked, and you spent that money on it. So we had ham for a long time, almost to the next Christmas. But now our tradition, some of our family traditions, is every year we do go down to Evansville and spend some time with our family. And But my wife and I, we always put the tree up together. But one of our Christmas traditions actually goes throughout the whole year. And what we do is every year, wherever we might be traveling or wherever, we'll pick up a Christmas ornament. But every year around October time, which is beautiful fall foliage in Brown County, for those of you that live around here in Indiana, know how beautiful Brown County is in the fall time. And my wife and I always take a weekend trip down there to Brown County. And we always buy a Brown County homemade Christmas ornament. And we buy that every year. And it's always got the date on there. So, you know, obviously this year was Brown County 2011 on our tree. So our tree is full of Brown County Christmas ornaments from the date. So that's kind of the tradition that we have. Joining us now, though, Mr. Ed Kratz from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You there with us, Phil? I mean, Ed?
Hey.
How'd you feel? Dang. I thought this would be the one week that I'd get your name right. But usually, at least you get Ed right. How'd you feel? So, oh, well. Hey, welcome to the Christmas Balance Special. We're just kind of laid back today. We're talking about some Christmas stuff. Obviously, we're talking sports as well. Now, you weren't here at the beginning of the show, and as the guests pop on and pop in for our little fireside Christmas chat here, we want to have an opportunity that we get to know you a little bit better. I know you're no stranger to the show, but what we'd like for you to do is just tell us a little bit about who you are. You're married, kids, you don't have to give last names or anything, and one truth or lie about you, and we get to determine whether or not it's the truth or the lie. So go ahead.
All right. Let's see. I'm married. I'll start there. This is 2012 will be a big one. It's number 20. 20 years it'll be in September. I've been married. So that's kind of a Christmas miracle right there, if you ask me, if you know me. And I have three children. A son who's 15, and he's a football player and a wrestler. He's a pretty big kid. He's a freshman in high school, and I have two young daughters, an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. So we're all looking forward to Christmas. It's always a fun time in our home, and we do a little traveling on Christmas Day. I was fortunate enough; I didn't have to go to Dallas this weekend. I was able to get some time with the family, and so we travel on Christmas Day. My wife is from actually the Penn State area. So we will head that direction tomorrow morning and spend the night and then go see my family, which lives about an hour from here in Valley Forge. Historian buffs have probably heard of Valley Forge.
I was going to say the Valley Forge.
the Valley Forge, yeah, George Washington's encampment. And yeah, it's a big tourist spot, but that's where I grew up, right outside of Valley Forge. And about an hour from where I live right now. So, that's a little bit about me. I've been writing sports since 1986 full time, which is how many years ago? My math skills aren't the best. I guess that's 25 years. Let me see if I can think of a truth or lie here for you. I used to cover the Pittsburgh Pirates. Back in the Barry Bonds days of early 1990, and Bobby Bonilla was on those teams as well.
Well, you know what? I'm a Pirates fan, and I would say that would be a good segue into what you're doing now, so I'm going to say it's the truth. Guys, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the truth.
Chad?
Yeah. I do think it's the truth as well.
Is it the truth or is it a lie?
Well, there's no fooling you guys. It's the truth. Yeah, it is the truth. I used to cover them back when they were pretty good. I don't think they've had a winning season since I left, actually. It's been a long drought out there in Pittsburgh, unfortunately. One of my favorite cities, so it's sad to see.
Well, you probably know this, covering the Pirates or whatever, but, you know, the Indianapolis Indians here in town are the AAA farm team. for the Pittsburgh Pirates, so at least at the moment. And so that's one reason why I like to follow the Pirates. So, you know, and I think that the Pirates do a lot with their farm system in bringing – because the Indians do very well, and they always seem to start out well. The Pirates started out fantastic this past year, and they just kind of went whoop, 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 whoop. But my wife's a Cubs fan, so we go through that every year. Fortunately, I'm a Cardinal fan. Now, we've lost Albert Pujols, and we talked about it on the show last week or the week before or whatever it was. But we got us another good slugger, so I think Beltran, we picked him up. So, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I wonder if they'll have as much luck with him signing him as they did with Lance Berkman last year. I mean, they got a real gem in Lance Berkman, as you know. I mean, he really, to me, exceeded expectations when they signed him. So, if Carlos Beltran can give you the same kind of production that he gave the Mets for a number of years, that's a great signing. You know, it really is. I mean, he'll be a good stick to plug into the middle of that lineup. And, yeah, I think he'll work out just fine. You're talking about the Pirates going down the tubes after a pretty nice start. I think the key, one of the big games in that downfall was the 19-inning game they played, I think it was in June or July against the Braves. You remember that game where an Atlanta base mm-hmm. runner was scored safe at the plate in the bottom of the 19th inning to give the Braves the win. And replays clearly showed that he was out and there would have been a 20th inning and they keep playing. But I think after the Pirates lost that game, they just weren't the same team. And, if you can point to anything in the season that kind of suddenly went south, I think it was that game. And that game has also renewed some pretty vigorous talk about instant replay, expanding instant replay in baseball.
Oh, absolutely. And I personally am a big fan of that, of the instant replay in baseball. And I know I think it's very, very much needed. All right, now, Ed, you're our Philadelphia connection, if you will, to the Philly sports, and we'll just kind of go around the clock, and you're welcome to stay on as long as you want. I think I told you that we could have you for 30 minutes, but you can stay as long as you want. But I want to make sure that while we got you, we get around the clock here, and obviously we're still in the NFL season. We were just talking a little bit about the Colts and how about them Colts. But you guys got a big, big game coming up, obviously tomorrow. Tomorrow 4:15. It's rare
today.
That we get – is it today?
It is today.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It is today. I'm sorry. My bad. Thanks, Chad. See, Chad's my right-hand man. I'll tell you what, he has no problem calling me out and telling me what an idiot I am live in front of a national audience. It's like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off and get it done with. Today.
Man, that's my biggest dilemma. I'm going to my championship game, and I got Aaron Rodgers going. So,
that's right.
Wow. Yeah,
big
decision for me. It's like, gosh, I just hope I'm just going to root for the 49ers to win so bad so that Aaron Rodgers plays big time on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Chad is awesome. Chad is also in my fantasy league. So today, Ed, you have a big game, Eagles versus Cowboys. And I know earlier this week you and I were talking, you had your shoes off, you were trying to mathematically figure out a way that the Phillies could make it to the playoffs. Did you figure out a way that could happen yet?
Yeah. You know what? It was actually a little bit easier when I looked a little harder at it. That was during garbage time of last Sunday's game that we were talking. Tom, back and forth a little bit. It was
right.
In the fourth quarter when the Eagles had that game with the Jets pretty much salted away. And I was taking a little look at the playoff picture. But, yeah, it's rather simple math right now. It's Philly needs – well, actually, today's game may not mean anything to the Eagles if the Jets lose to the Giants. So, in other words, if the Giants win, the Eagles are eliminated before they even take the field this afternoon at 4:15. Okay, the Jets-Giants play at 1. Now, if the Jets beat the Giants, the Eagles will still be alive, but then they will have to turn around and beat the Cowboys today to make next week's game consequential. So,
well, we all know that the Jets can beat the Giants, and Rex Ryan has had no shortage of trash talk. So we'll see how that comes together. Brian, Chad, do you guys have any thoughts on the Eagles and the Cowboys?
Man, I mean, have the Eagles ever had a three-game winning streak throughout this year?
No, they haven't. That's another issue. You know, all the times.
So, but I do think, I mean, they might get their first three-game winning streak versus the Cowboys, the way they are playing, and how the Cowboys can tend to lose games down the stretch. I mean, but the Cowboys are not going to fold over, and Rob Ryan is going to bring the heat. So they better be prepared for a week to get some body shots. So.
Yeah, that 1 o'clock game is going to be a fun game, I think. That a Giants-Jets game should be a doozy. I know there's been a lot of hype, you know, here in the East Coast over that game, I'm sure, as it has been nationally. You know, the battle for New York, Eli Manning, Mark Sanchez, Rex Ryan, Tom Coughlin. You know, two teams with some real glaring weaknesses, but two teams with some really nice things that they can do well, too. So that's going to be a real down-to-the-wire game. And there was a lot of talk in the Eagles locker room this week as if they're going to pay attention to that game and if they're going to be aware of the outcome before they take the field. But, I wonder if that game, that Giants-Jets game, won't go overtime. And when the Eagles tee it up at 4:15, Giants and Jets might be slugging it out in overtime in New Jersey, you know. So they may not know the outcome, because I think that's the kind of game Jets-Giants is going to be today. It's a real, you know, a real tight, you know, very physical type of game.
I had a question for him.
Go ahead.
What is the word out there if, you know, the Eagles is supposed to be, like, you know, pretty much like a playoff or, you know, bus team, and, you know, it's, you know, they have to go to the playoffs with this kind of team, this kind of talent. If they don't make the playoffs and they don't, you know, they don't, even if they made the playoffs and they don't go deep in the playoffs, what's the word on, like, Andy Reid and, you know, him being around, and, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, are they going to supposedly, you know, maybe even, like, clean house a little bit and kind of start over, and, you know, what's the deal on that?
That's a good question. I mean, the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, and the president, Joe Banner, have been strangely silent during the course of this season. Usually, you know, you can find one, if not both of them, in the locker room afterward that would be willing to share a few of their thoughts with you. But I can only remember seeing the owner once in the locker room this season after a game. And he was striding very quickly through the locker room. It was after a loss. It may have been to Arizona at home when I saw him. He wasn't happy, clearly. It's a good question. I think that Andy Reid has probably saved his job at this point based on the fact that the team has not quit on him. They have not tuned him out. They were 4-8 as of 2 weeks ago, and they went to Miami and won fairly convincingly after falling behind 7-0. And then they, smacked the Jets pretty good last week. So, I think he has kind of demonstrated that the players are still listening to him. They haven't tuned him out. And the big thing going in his favor is he has still 2 years left on his contract. It's going to pay him $10 million over that time period. So I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is going to be too quick to eat that type of money. There were high expectations coming into the season. It was Super Bowl or bust, and it hasn't worked out that way. And I think a lot of that has to do with no off-season training. And I know every team went through that, but I think the Eagles are now kind of using that maybe as a bit of an excuse that, hey, we have a lot of young guys on defense, a lot of new faces. We have a defensive coordinator who used to be our offensive line coach for 13 years. He needed a little time to get acclimated. But, you know, they're all sins against Andy Reid, in my opinion, as he should have known that we're not going to have a lot of time to get these guys on the same page. But that said, I still think he has saved his job at this point. I really do. And as far as the house cleaning, the Eagles, believe it or not, their defense right now is 10th in the league, which, you know, I think as much as 2 weeks ago when they were 4-8, they were down as low as 17, if not even further. I'd have to look back at that. But they've steadily climbed up the rankings a bit. And if they finish as a top-10 defense, I think the defensive coordinator, Juan Castillo, may be coming back as well for a second season. They'll have a full season, you know, a full off season, I should say, to get players to learn the system, you know, whatever, get on the same page, that kind of thing. I think that if things can, if they go 8-8, or even if they go 6-10 at this point, but play competitively, their defense doesn't explode, you know, implode, I think that everybody's going to be back. The one thing I can see changing that is maybe if San Diego, the Chargers, if North Turner gets fired in San Diego, I could maybe see Andy Reid saying, you know what, I'm gonna go for that job, and maybe he resigns and goes out to San Diego. He's from that area, very low pressure, very low you know, media coverage out there. There's so many other things to do in Southern California than follow the Chargers. So, you know, I could see there's been talk about that, is if that job would open, would that entice Andy Reid to maybe resign and head that direction, or talk to the ownership of the Eagles and say, you know what, I wouldn't mind casting my lot with another team at this point. You know, he's got Phillip Rivers out there, a good quarterback to work with. And, you know, Andy Reid does a great job producing and developing quarterbacks, in my opinion. He's proven that, I think, over, you know, his coaching career, working first with Brett Favre and turning him into the player that Brett Favre became. So, you know, that's a long answer. I apologize for the long answer. But, you know, it's been a very talked about topic here in Philadelphia. And right now, in my opinion, I think everybody's safe, and they're going to bring them back for another season and see how they do with one full year to prepare as a team and as a coaching staff for next season.
Well, and that certainly was a great answer, and we value your input, Mr. Ed Kratz of the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right,
I'm just practicing saying your name. We got to take a break, guys. Can you stick around, Ed?
Sure. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, guys, I have friends all over the United States in radio, and I begin, and also, I don't know why I forgot to do this, we are also tracking Santa right here on The Balance, guys, on The Balance Radio Network, and Santa is in North Korea. He's getting ready to go to Russia as we speak. You can check him out, www.noradsanta.org, and we had some people from that organization, from NORAD, on the show a few weeks ago, talking about how they track Santa. So that, just so you guys know, that they're in Russia. But I digress. I know that, but it just popped up on my screen here, and I realized I hadn't even mentioned and told you guys where Santa's at. It's very, very important that we know where Santa is at, so that we can track him till he gets here to the United States. So he is in Russia right now. So there you go. No Russian jokes.
I'll pass that along to my kids. They'll be interested. They'll want to know, yeah, for sure when he's heading this direction.
Yeah, www.noradsanta.org. Well, anyway, I've got friends from radio stations all over the United States, and I'm a big radio station buff. I like the bumper stickers and the buttons that the radio stations do. And, you know, being in radio, that's just kind of our shtick. We like other radio stuff. So I sent an email out to different people, and I said, hey, shoot me some jingles if you got them. Older is good, or modern one is good. And I got inundated with responses. So I tried to shrink this down as much as I can. So I'm going to play this little montage of radio jingles to my friends all over the United States. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with some more talks right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Magic 105, Lexington.
Hey, Tom, turn your mic on.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, can everybody hear me now? Gee whiz. Ed, are you still with us?
I am. I'm here.
I am so sorry, guys. I do not know what happened. Last time, Ed, you were on the show, we had this very same issue, and I am trying to figure out. I'm about to lose my Christmas religion. That is unreal. Well, Brian, what I want you to do is go ahead and you and Ed talk for just a second. I'm going to work out these kinks, and I will be right back with you. So, Ed and Brian, take over the show for about 5 minutes.
just to let you know, you sound like kind of faint, like you're in the distance, like you're talking through a tunnel. So
I realize that. So go ahead. I'm trying to fix it as we speak.
Okay. Anything about, like, I don't know. Let's talk about some games that's going on this weekend. I mean, it's Saturday, and you know it's kind of weird that we got games going on Saturday and everything. But what are the games you're looking forward to watching today?
I'm anxious to see how the Lions do. I'd love to see the Lions. That should be a good game. That's on, I think, this afternoon at 4:15 too. Right.
The Lions are playing at 4:05, and I mean if they win today, they're in the playoffs. If not, I don't know. You know, they're out of it. But
are they out of it? They lose. They need to win. Is that the deal?
They have to win today to get in the playoffs. I mean, well, they can clinch today. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked into how far If they win, if they lose today, if they win next week, I don't know if they're in or not. But it's something like that.
Yeah, well, let me see here. They're 9-5, as are the Falcons, and right now they're the two wild card teams. So I think if they lose, they're 9-6. But the Seahawks, let's see who would have a chance of catching them. The Seahawks, I guess, are 7-7, as are the Bears, the Giants, and the Cardinals. So I would think that if they lose today, they might still have a crack next week to get in if they were to win. And they would be at the Packers, that wouldn't be easy unless the Packers, I guess the Packers today could wrap up home field advantage if they were to win and the Niners to lose. I think. And Chad mentioned something about that earlier, that he was hoping Aaron Rodgers, the Niners would win, so Aaron Rodgers would play tomorrow night. I don't know about the Lions. I think if they win today, they're in for sure, because they'll have 10 wins and there would be nobody that can catch them that's chasing them. So they could clinch with the win, which would be great. It'd be great to see the Lions back in the playoffs.
Speaking of the Packers, Do you look at last weekend? I mean, I personally think it's more of a shock that the Packers lost than we won. Because, I mean, going against the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, yeah, they're in Arrowhead, you know, they're in Kansas City and everything. But, you know, it seems like they're more of a tougher defensive team than offensive. You know, when they get going, it seems like it's more of their defense that gets going than anything. And, you know, no one can, you know, penetrate that defense. But I was personally more shocked that Green Bay lost that game than anything. I mean, last weekend was a lot of upsets in the NFL, but that had to have been the biggest one. But personally, I'm glad that, you know, I'm expecting the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. And if they go to the Super Bowl, you know, I want them to have that one loss out of the way. I don't want them to blow it. Just like the Patriots did, you know, a few years back, you know, lose, you know, that one game in the Super Bowl. And,
yeah.
You know, that to me, but I mean, you lost against the Chiefs. I mean, that just had to have been like a wake-up call to that team. And, you know, they couldn't get anything going at all. And that to lose to the Chiefs, I mean, that's you know, pretty bad. That's like, you know, after, you know, the Saints came in and whipped our butts, and then they go, you know, to St. or I can't remember if they played in St. Louis. Yeah, I think they played in St. Louis, but, you know, then the Rams beat them. I mean, that was just kind of a wake-up call to them. But, I mean, what were your thoughts about, you know, Green Bay losing to Kansas City last weekend?
Yeah, well, like you said, I think the Chiefs did the Packers a huge favor by beating them. I think the longer you go undefeated, the more the pressure builds, the more the expectation level rises. And, you know, we're all human beings, and, you know how human beings respond to that, we only really have the one instance, you know, the one example on the record, and that's the Patriots and of, 2008, I think it was, the 2007 season, going undefeated and then heading to the Super Bowl and losing to the Giants. Now, the Giants played a great game against the Patriots that day. They really pressured Brady with their front four, and, you know, I'm not so sure it was the pressure of being 18-0 at that point for the Patriots or just the way the Giants played. I think it was a little of both. But I think the Chiefs did the Packers a big favor, just giving them that loss. Like you said, it's a wake-up call. It kind of pointed to some things that they need to get better doing. But, you know, the Chiefs, remember, the Chiefs were a playoff team last year. They won the NFC West. So they have some talent on that team. I just think that the problem this year maybe it was the coaching. You know, they got rid of Todd Haley, who, by all accounts, was a rather strange person, a little different. Maybe the players didn't respond to him. And they brought up Romeo Crennel, who used to be a head coach and was, you know, Bill Belichick's right-hand man for all those years the Patriots were doing the winning. And you know, that's a pretty talented team. And maybe the Packers overlooked them a little bit. You know, maybe that was part of it. But I think it was a big favor that they did for them. I think the Packers are going to be tough to beat in Green Bay, you know, on the frozen tundra at some point. But, you know, I think the Saints, don't sleep on the Saints. I think the Saints have the kind of team that might be able to do that.
All right, guys. Hey, I hate to interrupt here, but we've got to take a break. I think we're trying to get things fixed. Can you guys hear me a little bit better now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Tom.
All
yeah.
Right, I think we got things back on track here. We're going to be right back with Evan Williams from a student up at Purdue University, blogger, Bleeding Gold and Black, and he's going to talk with us a little bit about the recruits that are coming into the Big Ten, predominantly IU and Purdue. Ed, can you stay around?
Sure. I have a question for Evan.
All right. We'll be right back, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, welcome back to The Balance on Christmas Eve. That's right, December 24th, 2011. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, your host for another hour, and so glad that you can join us. I think and hope that we are back, guys. I don't know what it is about you, Ed, but you must just have some sort of energy about you, because I everything is fine. And then we're almost the same time happened last time. It just went, everything goes blank. I mean, you guys can hear me, but it's like I can't hear you. Nothing on my board. And here's the thing about radio. You guys, newspaper guys, you rely on your...
Well,
anyway, joining us now is Evan Williams from Purdue University, sophomore at Purdue University, and also blogger for Purdue, Bleeding Golden Black. And Evan talked with me earlier this week. He says, I got a great idea. I want to talk about some recruits on the show and on my blog. What do you think about doing a piece on that? I said, that's a fantastic idea. And Evan, I'd like for you to take the lead on that. So that's exactly what he's going to do. Evan, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Christmas special of The Balance.
Well, hey, Tom. Thanks for having me today to talk recruits. It's, you know, in addition to blogging about Purdue, something I do a lot and follow very closely is high school basketball recruiting. And since Indiana is kind of the high school basketball capital of the U.S., Purdue and IU tend to bring in some very good recruits. So today what I wanted to do is just go over both Purdue and IU's recruiting classes for the 2012 year. They both have very talented classes, and it's going to be exciting to see the rivalry between Purdue and IU come back to what it used to be. So to start, does anyone just have any questions before I get started here?
Ed, did you have a question? You said you had a question for Evan.
Well, yeah, mine was actually football related with the Purdue football team, but, you know, I don't want to switch gears on Evan, so you just go right ahead, Evan. Maybe I can catch up with you with that question when you're done, or if you want
you
to
can go. You can ask away.
It was about a football player named Brandon Cottom. He was a freshman on the team this year. The reason I ask about him is he's from the area where I live here outside of Philadelphia, and I'm not sure he saw any time, but he's listed on the roster as a 6'4", 255-pound freshman running back, which I assume would be a fullback. I don't know if he saw any time. I doubt it. He probably redshirted, but I don't know if that name rang a bell to you or if you know, you know, maybe he fits into their plans over the next couple of years here. His name's Brandon Cottom.
Yeah, Cottom actually did see playing time. He saw a lot of playing time on special teams, and he actually tore his ACL this season.
Ah, darn.
So he'll probably be out for an extended amount of time, but he did see playing time. He saw a couple snaps on offense too, but he'll definitely have an impact for the Boilers in the coming years. He's a very big guy, as you said, 6'4", 5", 250 pounds. So
yeah,
he'll definitely see some playing time.
Did he tear it in a game, or how did
that
happen?
Yeah, I think it was in a game. I'm not sure. It was about midway through the season, though. But he was definitely seeing some playing time as a true freshman.
Good. Thanks. That's a good update. I'll keep an eye and an ear out for him.
Okay, Evan, so go right ahead. I know Evan's got, we want to make sure that we get a lot of this high school basketball talking. And those of you that might be wondering, we are making that transition from football into basketball. And, you know, Hoosier Hysteria is here. So, Evan, you've got the floor, my friend.
All right, thanks, Tom. So I'll just start off with the recruits I'm more familiar with, the Purdue recruits. And so to start off with their 2012 class, we have Raphael Davis. Davis is a 6'6", 210-pound shooting guard out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He attended Southside High School for his first 3 years of high school before transferring to Lalamere School in my hometown of LaPorte, Indiana, for his senior year. He committed to the Boilers as a freshman back in 2009. Davis is considered a three-star recruit by the Rivals Scouting Service as the 106th player overall nationally, and a four-star recruit and the 76th player overall nationally by ESPN. Just a little bit about Davis. He averaged 28 points a game last year as a junior, which led the state of Indiana in scoring. Now, this year he transferred to Lalamere School. It's a prep school, and they're really becoming a prep powerhouse in the prep basketball world. Coach Alan Huss over at Lalamere is really building a great program right now. They have a lot of Division I talent on the team. They also have fellow Purdue recruit Jay Simpson, Indiana commit Hanair Mascara-Perea, Southern Illinois commit Bobo Drummond, and New Mexico commit Big O, I get. And so just a little about Davis's game. I really like it. I've seen some games online. I've watched some highlight tapes. He's a really physical guard, which I think Purdue kind of needs. He has a great ability to drive to the hoop and draw a lot of fouls and get to the line. As everyone who follows college basketball and the Big Ten knows, Purdue's really been struggling with free throws this year, and Davis is a good free throw shooter, so it's going to help that he has the ability to drive to the rim and draw some fouls. He really attacks. I mean, that's the thing I noticed about his game the most, is he likes to attack. He is a good shot. There's room for improvement. He can hit the three ball occasionally. He's got some good rebounding ability. He's got good size. He's a lengthy wing. And I really think he can have an impact for the Boilers immediately. I don't see him starting or anything right away, but he'll definitely be a guy who can come in as a true freshman and play and have an impact for Purdue next season. Any questions about Davis?
Well, my question about Davis is, I don't know that he's going to play for an Indiana school, is he?
He's playing for Purdue.
Oh, is he already playing for Purdue?
No, he's committed.
Okay, I didn't know that he had committed to that. So I apologize. Now, one of the questions that I want to ask you, and I know this is a form question that you and I talked about, but what does Painter have to do with A.J. Hammonds to be the impact player right away?
Well, I think
Matt Painter. I say Curtis Painter again, didn't I? Did I say Curtis? I got a problem, guys. And those of you that were on the show last week, I was just talking about Matt Painter, but I kept saying Curtis Painter. Yeah, what the heck does Curtis Painter have to do with? Go ahead, Evan. I did it again. And it's right there in front of my face too. God, I gotta get Curtis Painter out of my mind. Go ahead, Evan. I'm sorry.
You guys, it's all right. Well, now I guess I'll just talk about AJ Hammonds. He's a 7-foot, 265-pound center out of Carmel, Indiana. He plays at Oak Hill Academy in Mount Wilson, Virginia. Very prominent prep school, produced the likes of Carmelo Anthony, Brandon Jennings, Rajon Rondo, Josh Smith, a lot of NBA guys come out of Oak Hill. He's a 3-star center by Rivals, 123 nationally, 4-star by ESPN, 78. And he's really a true center, which Purdue is going to really need. He's got huge size. He's an outstanding rebounder. He's a great shot blocker. He's good in the post, but he needs a little work there. And he needs to improve his hustle and his effort and be more aggressive, I think. Oak Hill recently had a game on ESPN2, and he got into foul trouble early, so I didn't really get to see a true performance of him. But it just seems like he needs to, like, play with a little more desire, it seems like, at times. Like, I mean, it's kind of weird, but then to the question, what does Matt Painter need to do for him to be, you know, an impact, is I think he just needs to push him and make Hammonds become the best player he can be. There's a lot of room for improvement, but there's a huge ceiling there. I think Hammonds can really be a great player just based on his – I mean, he's huge. He gives Purdue a legitimate center, which they haven't had in a while. And I think if Painter can just get him to work hard and work on his game every day in practice and then improve in games, I think Hammonds can really be a great player for Purdue.
Now, we're talking some high school recruiting, new college recruits for both IU and Purdue with our guest panels, Ed Kratz from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Evan Williams, did I say your last name wrong? Evan, did I say your last name wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. God, see, Painter got me all screwed up. So I was like, for some reason, in the back of my mind. So that whole board, see what happens when the board goes crazy? It makes everything just go off kilter. Because I lost all my notes, and I had to reboot everything, and everything's still coming back up. But we're talking with Evan Williams from Purdue. Now, Evan, I know we do have a caller on the line. I know he's a big IU fan. He's also follows the Balance as well. So, Gary Wells from Indianapolis. Gary, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good,
how are you?
Good to have you with us. Do you have any questions for our panel of experts or thoughts about IU basketball, college recruits, or anything along that line?
Yeah, sure. I just have some comments overall. I mean, we've seen a significant improvement year over year, and I think there's really three keys to why Indiana is playing so well this year. I mean, it comes down to defensively. They have really stepped up the game. played really well on the defensive end. With the addition of Cody Zeller, I think there's not another player in college basketball this year that has had the impact that he's had on any other team. Just his presence inside has freed up the freedom of the game for Indiana. And before the Maryland-Baltimore County game, they were number one in the country from three-point range shooting. And overall, I mean, we're number one. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're not playing the top teams yet. They really had, I guess, sort of two tough games with North Carolina State and Kentucky. But other than that, we got a big game coming up on December 31st. Three games right now that are crucial coming up here in the next 2 weeks. You know, playing one to Michigan State. Of course, they've played their two losses in Purdue, Duke, and North Carolina on two neutral sites within a week of each other. So I think overall, Indiana, I think they get at least 2-1. I think they'll move up in the rankings if they get through this next 2 weeks. 3-0, they'll be a top 10 team.
Okay, Evan, I know that was a lot, so go ahead there, Evan. Any response to that, or anybody else on the panel? Go ahead.
I just think for Indiana to be successful, Cody Zeller has to keep up his high level of play. He's been great for them so far this season, but when we get into the Big Ten, he's going to be facing some really good big men. So I think he just has to keep up his high level of play. If Zeller can be successful, I think IU will be successful this year.
Now, Evan, I know that you do a lot of research on college recruits and college basketball. What is there any what I would call sleeper stars out there that you think anywhere in the Big Ten? And I know that we've got Ed Kratz on from the Philadelphia Inquirer who obviously follows Penn State as well. So anybody that you think is really good standout recruits that could go possibly to anywhere in the Big Ten, and any thoughts on that?
Well, the Big Ten is very strong as far as 2012 goes in pulling in recruits. And, I mean, the top 15, you have the classes from Purdue, IU, Michigan State, Michigan. You know, Illinois is bringing in some good recruits. Ohio State's always bringing in good recruits. So I think you just have to watch out for everyone in the Big Ten. You know, there's a lot of talent all around. Iowa is bringing in some good recruits. They're really going to be stepping up their level of play in these next couple of years. You know, I think the Big Ten is going to be to the point where there's no clear favorite every year because everyone is bringing in such tremendous talent. And I think everyone will in these next couple of years will have a legitimate shot of winning the title.
Ed, do you have any basketball questions for Evan?
Well, do you include Penn State in that, Evan? Do you think they have a shot at all?
Penn State's recruiting has been a little down. I mean, they were hit hard last year with graduation. They lost a lot. I actually can't get my internet to work right now, so I can't pull up.
Finally, somebody other than me.
Yeah, I thought that was funny because I couldn't get my internet to pull up either. So I can't pull up their recruits right in front of me. I do know they have some solid players coming in, though. I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, Evan. Oh, go ahead, guys. I apologize. I'll jump in a second. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there is talent coming into Penn State. It'll just depend on how they develop and how well they play together. I mean, they're not pulling in, you know, the five-star recruits, the four-star recruits, but they are getting solid players. So I think it'll depend on how they develop and how they play as a team, and that'll determine their success.
They have a new head coach too, right? The Patrick Chambers, I think his name is.
So I mean, there's a lot of variables in there, but they can definitely be successful. They're a Big Ten program. They've had success in the past, so I definitely think it'll be there.
Yeah, I know that. I was just going to say, I think they're 8-5 in their non-conference part of their schedule, which is, you know, not bad. It's, I think, better than what some people thought it might be at this point. But the Big Ten is going to be a real test for them once it begins play here after the holidays.
Now, Evan, we want to make sure that you do not escape today without playing our little game that we played with everyone as they come on. First of all, just tell us a little bit about who you are, married. I don't think you're obviously not married. I would think that you're not married. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you're from, and either a truth or a lie about us, and we get to figure out whether or not it's the truth or the lie. So go ahead.
All right, well, I am Evan Williams. I'm a 20-year-old sophomore from LaPorte, Indiana, Northwest Indiana. I go to Purdue University, where I major in management. I'm a huge Purdue fan, obviously. I do the Bleeding Golden Black blog, and you can find that at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com. I'm also very active on Twitter, where I post all of my blogs and all my sports-related tweets and life and tweets about my life at Evan_Williams25. So truth or lie, I would have to say The Balance is my favorite talk show.
I will say that's got to be the truth. That has to be the truth. What do you guys
think? It better be the truth.
And you know what? We do still have Gary on the line with us because I know Gary, and Gary goes to church with me as well. And Gary's just a big IU fan. He listens to The Balance, and he's just been like, please let me on the show. Please let me. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's not doing that. But Gary, I know, is a big, big IU guy, and he loves IU basketball. And I told him I'd give him some time today to talk with the pros about IU basketball. So Gary, before you move forward, you got to tell us the same thing that Evan just did, so we can get you acclimated as well. So go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Well, I'm 37. Of course, I am married, and I have a 17-year-old son. His name is taken after me, Gary Wells for a second. And actually grew up in Bloomington and went to school at Indiana University. So basically, you know, if you were to cut me open, I would lead Queen of Crimson. So, to the lie game, as it relates to you guys, you are the fastest growing talk show in America.
I didn't hear the last part. What'd you say?
I said you're the fastest growing talk show in America.
That's got to be a truth, too. Absolutely. All kinds of truth today. Absolutely. All right, Gary, we're going to give you one more question because the clock stops for nobody. So one more question for Evan, Ed, or whatever about IU or Big Ten. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about, if I could, a little bit about the history of Indiana basketball. And then I can throw out some questions. But here in the last 10 years, the program has really gone backwards. Now we're just starting to come back. But I think the whole reason for that is because the folks that we had come in, the coaches did not really build any relationships with the coaches, the high school coaches at the level in Indiana, in terms of the state of Indiana. And that really has caused an issue because without those relationships and going after the players in Indiana, our program suffered. And you know, Tom Crean, it's taken a couple of years. Basically, we started out in the ashes, so to speak, of starting over. And he really started developing relationships. When he was up at Marquette, he had a player from Richmond, Indiana. He wanted to come to Indiana. He said that he wanted to we're starting to see those relationships being built back up. I think Matt Painter at Purdue.
Hey, Gary, I hate to say you're going too long, but you're going too long. Just real quickly, your question, because we've got to move on along here. So, what's your question for us?
Recruiting wise, what do you see coming in? We have four guys come in from the state of Indiana next year. But what do you think of this kid out of Detroit? He came in and actually sat behind the bench. Saw Christian Wofford took the shot. I think it's 6'7", 6'8" out of Detroit. What do you think? Do you think he'll be coming in to Indiana anytime soon?
Go ahead, Evan. You can take that question.
I'm actually not familiar with what player you're talking about. Is he a freshman this year?
I guess so. We lost him. He's disconnected now. So, but Gary brings up a good point as far as the history of Indiana and a lot of not getting the recruits that we've been able to get in the past that I think now are going to start coming. Evan, I wanted to make sure that we let you finish your segment here, and because our truth or dare kind of ran off a little bit. So. Really, what I want you to do is you send me some talking points. I'll let you just go through what you want, and the floor is all yours, buddy.
How much time do we have left, Tom?
I'll give you another 5 minutes.
All right. Well, I'll finish up Purdue real quick. There's just another recruit coming in is 6'9", power forward, Jay Simpson. He's a top 100 player, very skilled, needs to improve on some conditioning. And then there's also Ronnie Johnson, 6 foot point guard out of North Central in Indianapolis. His older brother, Tyrone, currently plays for Purdue, and he's a sophomore. And he's a definite Mr. Basketball candidate in the state of Indiana. He recently led North Central over number one, Hamilton Southeastern. He scored 27 points, hit 7 3-pointers. He's a very quick lefty, very good scoring point guard. So now I'll just transition into IU. IU is a very good recruiting class coming in due 2012. Tom Crean did a great job recruiting. They're a top 10 class by every recruiting service. And their best player coming in next year is Kevin Yogi Farrell, 5'11 point guard out of Park Tudor High School. Park Tudor actually recently beat Ronnie Johnson's North Central team in a matchup between the 2A and 4A number one schools in the state of Indiana. Yogi's a consensus 5-star recruit by the recruiting services. He's one of the top point guards in the country. He's a very quick. He's so quick. When he gets up the court, it's lightning fast. He's a tremendous passer, one of the best I've seen. He's a great ball handler, very sound. Good jump shot, although I don't think at IU his main focus is going to be scoring. I think he's going to be more of a true point guard is setting up his teammates for success. The only thing I can see holding Yogi back is his size. He's 5'11", but he's 160 pounds, 165 pounds. It's pretty small, but, I mean, look at a guy like Lewis Jackson from Purdue. He's 5'9 on a good day, 165 pounds, and he's still able to be effective. So I think his size could be the only thing that could hold him back, but overall I think he's going to be a outstanding player for IU. That was a really good get for Tom Crean on that one.
Okay, before we finish up here, do you have any questions, Ed, for Evan or Brian, do you?
I have a question, Evan, about Robbie Hummel. It looks like he's off to a real nice start, but he's had the knee issues in the past. Do you see him making it through the season fully healthy, or will Coach Painter have to do anything to maybe give him some time off here and there, sell him during games and watch his minutes?
I do think Robbie's going to make it through the season. He looks really good so far this year. And he's still, getting used to playing back in games. He's missed so much time. So it'll come along. But I do think, if they're in a blowout, or if they're hopefully not, but if Purdue is getting blown out, then I think Coach Painter probably should rest Hummel, just to be safe. But overall, I think Robbie will make it through the season. He's looked great so far. He doesn't look like he's been slowed up too much. And I think he's going to continue to have a great season.
Do you see what,
got,
the guy, Does he have big ice packs on his knees after games? I mean, does he take? You know, I'm sure he's taking good care of them, right? He wants to get through the year, but.
Yeah, the training staff and Hummel, they're being very precautionary. You know, he wears knee braces during the games. So I know they're doing everything they can to make sure he has a healthy last season at Purdue.
Good.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it. Evan, I really appreciate you joining us as always, buddy. And we'll talk throughout the week, and we'll get you back on here when we've got a little bit more time. And the Christmas stuff's kind of put us off clock a little bit there. And so I promise you we'll have you back, and we'll continue this discussion about high school basketball. Any final thoughts? Where can people find you? Any final thoughts at all?
All right, you can find my blog at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com. I do all my postings on there. And then on Twitter, at Evan_Williams25. Follow me on there, and you can find out everything you want to know. So thanks for having me on today, Tom. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed it.
Sure, anytime. Evan Williams, Bleeding Gold and Black. Good kid, guys. I'll tell you what. You know, it's always refreshing just to see these good kids come up, go to college, do what they're supposed to do, and just be a part, a functioning part of society. It just seems like these days that we're a shortage of good kids. So Evan's always good and popular to come on the show here. Another popular college kid that is supposed to be on but is from IU, Mr. Jimmy the intern, Jimmy Cavanaugh, didn't make it in today. I don't know what happened to him. You know, all I know is he's on winter break. He's telling me yesterday, yeah, I'm going out with some friends tonight. I'll be there. I'll call in the morning, I promise you, with Evan. And one college kid called in, one did not. So I'll let you guys decide on what the real reason that he didn't call in, and we'll play his truth or lie next week or whatever on why he didn't call in. But he's definitely sad sack, guys. Jimmy Cavanaugh, Jimmy the intern, is definitely sad sack, that's for sure. But he does a lot of hard work for us, so we'll give him the break. I know he's going to be covering IU basketball very, very thoroughly for us. We got him a pair of credentials just because the boy needs to eat. So we said, hey, here's a pair of credentials for you. You get to eat, and all you got to do is report on the show. So hopefully he'll do that. Well, anyway, we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Merry Christmas, everybody. It is Christmas Eve. It is our Christmas special right here on the Balance on Blog Talk Radio across the United States. And we got 30 minutes left, guys. Can you hang in there with me?
Yep.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, did I lose you again? Come on, man. Don't do it to me again. 2 days in a row. We'll be right back. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Welcome back to the Balance. Frank Vogel, head coach of the Indiana Pacers. Had an opportunity to touch base with Frank Vogel and the Indiana Pacers at the Chicago Bulls game a few weeks ago. Boy, the times just flown by. A few days ago, obviously, the Pacers fell short to the Bulls in the preseason action. Moving on over to the NBA a little bit, Ed and Brian, let's talk a little bit about the Sixers, the Pacers, in the NBA overall. Obviously, we didn't think that the NBA was even going to come to a season this year. So let's start with the Sixers there, Ed. What is the outlook for the Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, there seems to be a lot of optimism around here about the 76ers. They made the playoffs last year. They took Miami Heat to five games. And they bring everybody back. They were a young team last year, Evan Turner from Indiana. Ohio State, right? Evan Turner.
Ohio State,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in his second year, and it looks like he really worked on his jump shot. It seems to be, I haven't seen this, but we have a beat writer at our paper who covers the team that keeps me informed, and he said it looks like he's really got a quicker release on his jump shot now. So they're looking for big things from him. And the maturation of Jrue Holiday, their point guard, who's also very young. I believe he's 21 years old now. This will be his third year in the league. And he's really coming along. And I think the comparison that's been made with the Sixers is NFL-related in that there was the lockout for the NBA, and as there was with the NFL, and teams in the NFL that came back who made a lot of off-season changes, such as the Eagles with a new coordinator and some new players on defense, struggled early, took them a little while to get on the same page. So there seems to be some thinking that the Sixers have not made any changes to their coaching staff. It's intact. The players are intact. And that continuity will serve them well since there was a very abbreviated preseason training camp and a preseason schedule. So there's some thought that that's going to help the Sixers in the long run. The one downside to the Sixers right now is they start the season with five straight games out on the West Coast, which is no easy task for them, obviously. So to get off to a good start is pretty important, I think, for them and for any team, really, because the season's down to 66 games. So there's optimism is the bottom line. The Sixers, there's a lot of optimism surrounding the team.
Now, the Sixers have a new player by the name of Uglamada. Did I say that right? And is he a new player? But I know that he's expected to have a breakout year this year.
What's the name?
Did I say it right? Iguodala.
Iguodala. Yeah,
Iguodala. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala. No, he is not a new player. He's actually in his ninth year, I believe, in Philadelphia here. He's a grizzled veteran. He had some injury issues last year that kind of I think he played hurt most of the second half of the season last year with nagging issues, nagging injury issues, and he looks to be completely healthy. And he seems to be a little bit more engaged, what I've heard, and within the community. He was always a little bit aloof from his teammates and from the community. And at the end of last season, he didn't directly ask to be traded, but he kind of insinuated that he would like to be shipped to another team. That never happened. But he seems to have come back with sort of a renewed attitude and a better attitude, and has actually been over the holidays here. From what I've heard, he's been out in the community helping do some things, which is a little bit different. So I think that's part of the reason for the optimism, too, is Andre Iguodala. He's their big money player. They signed him to a big deal 2 years ago, and they would like to see a little bit more consistency and a little bit more leadership from him. And they may get it this year. We'll see.
Well, another good team out there in Philadelphia that we like to cover here on The Balance, and Gary's not with us today. He's our hockey guru. But obviously the Flyers are in a position to have a very good season. So what's going on with the Flyers?
Yeah, well, everybody's psyched up for the Winter Classic. I don't know if anybody's been watching HBO and the 24-7 7 program that they have on there with Flyers Rangers as a build-up to the Winter Classic, which will be played on January 2nd at Citizens Bank Park here in Philadelphia. It's the Philadelphia Phillies home stadium. So there's a lot of hockey talk. I think that this program that HBO is doing, and they did the same thing last year when the Penguins and I don't remember who the Penguins played in the Winter Classic. Maybe the Bruins. But they did this show. This is the second time they've done this show. They kind of follow these two teams around. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it, but they follow both of the teams that are participating in the Classic, and it really goes. The cameras go everywhere. They go into the locker room. They really make the game of hockey look as physical as it really is. You know, great slow-mo shots. It's really well produced, this program. And they just follow the Rangers and the Flyers around, and it really makes these players look human. You know, it really gives them a good insight and shows them to be likable guys, which, you know, as a Flyers fan, I was never fond of the Rangers, but it's, geez, watching this program, not to like some of these guys. So, you know, it's been fun to watch. There's a lot of build-up for that. The Flyers as a team are doing well. They're jockeying for one of the top spots in the Atlantic Conference. And they lost last night to the Rangers 4-2, which kind of set the stage for that January 2nd Winter Classic game back in Philly. And the Flyers are doing it with a young team. They have a lot of times they're relying on rookies. They've had some injury issues. Their captain, Chris Pronger, it looks like he's going to be out for the season with a concussion, a severe concussion, post-concussion syndrome. Claude Giroux, who was at the time the leading scorer in hockey, has battled some concussion issues, but he has now returned. Last night was his second game back after missing 3 or 4 games. So, you know, they're playing a lot of young kids, and they're getting a lot of energy from these kids. And whether or not they can hold up for a full 82-game schedule and then into April and May with the playoffs remains to be seen, but so far so good, I think, for the Flyers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the Flyers are geared up for a really good season. It'd be great to see how they do. We don't have a NHL team here in Indianapolis, so I kind of piggyback on the St. Louis Blues. I like them a lot. I'm a St. Louis sports fan anyway, along with my Cardinals. So, you know, I'm not a Rams fan at all, but, you know, I'm definitely not going to be a Rams fan if they end up with that number one pick. So, you know, we're going to make a complete circle here, guys, and we're going to talk a little bit about that number one pick as we finish up. But I do have my son on standby. He's out at 29 Palms, California. He is on duty. He is training for his pre-deployment, second deployment to Afghanistan, although we don't know exactly what the date that is. One of the things I want to bring to light, guys, is there's a lot of soldiers and families who celebrate Christmas differently than we do. And obviously, my son is one of those. He is on duty right now. He has texted me throughout the show. He said he's trying to get away. Obviously, those of you that know anything about the military, that comes first, and if everything else comes second. So we're going to continue this conversation, but if he happens to call in, we'll butt in on that. So let's start with the number one draft pick. Brian, you've been kind of quiet. I don't know if you're eating your cookies or what. But you've been kind of quiet, so we'll start with you. We talked to you a little bit earlier about the Colts situation and the number one draft pick, but there could come into a three-way tie here between the Colts, the Rams, and the Vikings. Obviously, a more realistic picture would probably be the Vikings and the Colts, perhaps, in my opinion. But there again, you go with strength of schedule. I am not one of those guys that subscribe to the fact that, hey, let's lay down, let's do whatever we got to do to lose, because if we lose on Sunday, I mean next week against Jacksonville after the win to Houston, that would ensure us our number one pick. If we do not and we beat Jacksonville, then that means we're going to be picking number 3 or 4, and one would think we'd go with a cornerback. So, Brian, we'll start with you. Go ahead.
I believe that, I mean, I'm totally opposite of you, Tom. I mean, I think that we should just get that number one pick, because I'm looking towards the 10 to 15 year window. You know, Andrew Luck, and he can provide us with that. He can be that franchise quarterback for, you know, the next 10, 15 years. He can, you know, replace, you know, I mean, you ain't going to replace Peyton Manning, but you're going to, you know, we would have security there at the quarterback position for the next 10, 15 years, I believe. And, you know, the way he looks, I mean, it, you know, it's the best thing coming out of college in the last 20 years from what I've heard as far as the quarterback position, or the last 10 years. And, you know, we just got to look at the future. I mean, you want to keep Peyton Manning. Okay, now we're looking at, you know, 3 to 5 year window. And, you know, if we don't get that number one pick, and, you know, the Rams get it, of course, they're gonna trade that number one pick to get a few other picks, you know, a couple number ones, a couple number twos, because they don't need a quarterback. The Vikings, they will take Andrew Luck just because, you know, it's Andrew Luck. And what would they do with Chris Ponder? I mean, who knows? I mean, I personally would take Chris Ponder. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think he's going to be, you know, one of the – I honestly think that Christian Ponder is going to be one of the elite quarterbacks. You know, he's not going to be no Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, but I mean, I think he could be, the Eli Manning quarterback or, you know, someone like that, you know, and, you know, that kind of status. But, I'm all for going for the number one pick, getting Andrew Luck, and looking at the 10 to 15 year future as opposed to the 5 year, you know, the next 5 years we're going to have with Peyton Manning. I mean, we might not even get that long. I mean, he's been out, you know, this entire year. He's out of football shape. We're not exactly sure what we're going to get next year. You know, I mean, yeah, he's, you know, he's always going to have that mentality, and he's going to, you know, he ain't going to ever lose your thought process, but now your athletic ability, because you've been out for that entire year, you lose that athletic, you've been out of that athletic form for the last year, you know, out of that football form for the last year. What are we really going to get next year, and how long is it going to last? I mean, he only has a few more years left, maybe 5 at the most. I'm looking at the future.
Okay, Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm in a completely different camp than Brian. I think as a fan, you never root for your team to lose. It just kind of ruins your day when your team loses, I think. So I think you win and you take your chances. Like you said, the Rams certainly aren't going to spend a pick on that on a quarterback, and the Vikings would probably feel pretty good about Christian Ponder going forward. But I think you just win and let the chips fall where they may. There are other quarterbacks in this league, and as good as Luck looks in college, there is never a guarantee that he's going to come in and light it up in the NFL. There have been a lot of wasted number one picks throughout history on quarterbacks. Tim Couch from the Cleveland Browns comes to mind.
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Ed, I do apologize. I said I would have to interrupt if we got the call from my son.
So we
do have him on the line with us. Zach from 29 Palms, California, U.S. Marines. Are you with us, Zach?
Yes, good morning. Merry Christmas to you all.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Zach.
Merry Christmas.
All right. And what I want to do is I want to go into this segment, and Zach's going to hang tight with us. We're going to play this quick song, and then, Zach, we're going to come back with you. We're going to finish up the show. I think, Zach, you'll get a good appreciation of this song. And this is to all the soldiers out there. You know, as I was doing prep for this show, I came across this song, and I was trying to coordinate with Zach, and I thought, well, this would be a perfect song to play with this segment. So A Soldier Silent Night, and then we'll be back with my son, Zach, to finish up the show. And again, we appreciate all the service of all the soldiers out there at Christmas time.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantle, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought. came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark. It was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted asleep. But I couldn't control it, and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All's secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. Powerful song that just explains what soldiers go through. My son, Zach, welcome to the show.
Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Well, Zach, obviously it goes without saying I'm a proud father, but a proud American to have you out there. So tell us a little bit about the soldier's life at Christmas. Obviously, you're away from home. You're out of 29 Palms, California. And I know that you're married to a beautiful, beautiful woman, my daughter-in-law, Casey, and my beautiful, beautiful granddaughter, Kalina Shea. I could not be a prouder father, but I'd like for you to take some time to talk about a soldier's life at Christmas time.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Since I joined the Marine Corps, I've literally only been home for Christmas one time. So being away for the holidays in the Marine Corps, I've kind of you learn to adjust to that, and that's really all I know around Christmas time. It doesn't make it any easier. I'd much rather be home with my family and sitting around the Christmas tree drinking some coffee or whatever it may be, spending some time with my family. But this is, like I said, this is all I've grown to know in the Marine Corps, and it's different. It's different than your regular civilian life, and you realize how much you take for granted, and every Christmas holiday growing up or New Year's, you take it for granted when you're forced to not be there. I think it would be very mature of all of us, like a moment of silence right now, to remember all the service men and women that gave their lives around Christmas and that are gone, deployed right now. I can remember my first time being deployed. I was gone, you know, I was in Afghanistan on Christmas. I can remember being on convoys on Christmas and experiencing combat on Christmas. So I'd like all of us to take a moment of silence. This time of year is very, very, it chokes me up to talk about military in a time of Christmas and the time of holidays, because like many, many others right now, I've been gone. I've been deployed during the times that you need your family the most. So I think that it's a life that you learn to live with, but it's a life that you'll never learn to love. I love what I do. I love what it stands for, and I will do it again in a heartbeat. I do not regret joining the Marine Corps, and I plan on staying in my whole 20 years. But regardless of how many years I stay in the Marine Corps, I will never fully get used to being away for the holidays and birthdays. And it's just, I think everybody should take today and enjoy the time that you have with your family, enjoy the time that you've been blessed with, enjoy that fellowship, and never keep any holiday for granted. You never know when you're going to miss one.
Ed, do you have anything for Zach?
Wow, that's some powerful stuff there, Zach. Thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts. And I just want to say, on behalf of my family, and I'm sure thousands of families like mine, thanks so much for your service and for everything that you do, and God bless you. And you and your family, just thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart there. Thanks.
And to you and to all the other families, you're very most welcome. I do not wake up any morning with a grudge to anybody that gets to spend Christmas or holidays or just to spend a regular Saturday morning with their families. I'm not envious granted, I guess I could say I'm a little envious. I wish I could be with mine, but I definitely would do it again for everybody in America. Every American citizen, I would gladly miss my family time just so that you guys could be with yours. I don't wake up every morning and wish, bad upon anybody that's with their families, because I don't get to. That's not the case at all. I am very honored to know that when I'm gone, many, many, many families and many husbands and fathers are with their families due to my sacrifice.
Yeah. Well,
Brian?
Thank you. That's great.
Brian, I just want to say thank you for your service. And anyone, out there that sees a service member, take one second and go up and shake their hand and just say thanks. And, it's really important to them, and, they're serving our country. And for them to, sacrifice their life for our country and, go overseas and, go through stuff that they go through, it's crazy. Watching the war shows on TV and stuff and seeing what they go through, I couldn't imagine it.
All right, well, we got to wrap things up here. My son, Zach, it's as a father, it's hard to do that, but I couldn't be any prouder of my son. So I don't know where to go from here, but Zach, sure. I,